With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Way Up North podcast. This is a podcast series where we're getting to know some of the wedding photographers who are presenting at Way Up North in Rome of 2017. My name is Jenny Hammar. I'm a Stockholm-based photographer who will host this round of conversations. And this here is a chat that I had with a very pregnant Anna Ambrosi, who is an Italian wedding photographer based in London. We talked about so many things, her total career change, how most wedding photographers have issues about our most precious resource, time, and finally, some do's and don'ts when visiting Italy. Good for all of you who are planning to attend the Way Up North conference in April in Rome. Enjoy!
Hi!
Hi!
Nice to see you!
To see you too.
Oh my god, it's so dark here. Okay, well, I started the recording, so here we are. It's the podcast.
Hi, everyone.
We've never met before, except I saw you in Stockholm here when you spoke at the Modern Museum, which was awesome.
Oh, thank you very much.
But where are you now?
I'm in London. I'm living here at the moment. So I moved here around 3 years ago. So now I'm kind of living here as long as possible.
Okay, but you're Italian?
Yes, I am. I'm originally from Verona, which is a kind of small town close to Venice. And then I moved when I was around 18 years old to Milan, and I stayed there for 10 years more or less, and then I moved here. So
okay, so is Verona, is that Romeo and Juliet?
Yeah,
city. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much the perfect city to start for a wedding photographer, I would say. But
oh, that's right. You don't shoot weddings there then normally, or
no? Actually, not. That's pretty funny. But I started when I was in my probably last year in Milan, and I really just started, and then it got serious when I came here in London. So yeah, I never really worked in Verona actually.
Okay, so how long have you been working as a wedding photographer?
This year, 2016 has been my fourth year in activity.
That's crazy.
It's crazy, especially because I came from quite a different background. I was used to be a business consultant before, so it has been quite a change for me.
So what happened? How did the change come about?
Well, so this is kind of a tricky one, because there was a friend of mine who was a photographer who once told me, Anna, haven't you understood already that all the photographers became a photographer because they have some kind of trauma in their lives or some kind of issues they need to deal with? And actually, I think it's pretty much true, because the more I get to know other colleagues, the more I realize that a lot of us have some kind of situation that made them kind of open their eyes or change their lives and get into a life that kind of suits their needs better. So, and I'm no exception. So I also have my super sad drama story behind this decision. Business consultancy wasn't that bad, to be honest, because it was a great job, very well paid, and it took me a really great deal of effort to get to have the degree and the work, the job. But I wasn't free at all eventually because, I mean, I was used to think that maybe if I had the money to do whatever I wanted to, I would have been completely free to do all the things that I wanted to.
Yeah.
But it's actually not like that, because when you get into that kind of system, there are a lot of things that really don't allow you to be free at all.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Have the time, you don't get to decide about your own time. You always have to ask to someone else. And what's worse, you even if you work for a huge amount of hours per day, it doesn't mean that you are actually doing the job in the most intelligent way you can do.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that the quantity of the time you are working on something determines the quality of the job you are actually doing.
Okay, yeah.
And actually increases the feeling that you are kind of wasting your time, because you could do it better in less amount of time. But yeah, I would say what happened to me is when my father died in the hospital 8 years ago. It wasn't really a nice story overall. So it was kind of complicated to get out of that thing, because we have a trial going on for that. And still today. So it's kind of complicated. Mm-hmm. But I realized, I was 24 at the time, and I realized that the only thing that was really precious in my life was time, which sounds pretty obvious at this point. Like, I mean, everyone says that, and it's crazy that we don't really get to realize that unless something very huge happens to us. Like, we all keep on saying that, but actually just when you realize it kind of physically, you get to do something about that.
Yeah.
This is why I basically decided to change my lifestyle more than my job. I mean, photography came pretty naturally, but I would say it could have been maybe also something else. I just wanted really to take charge of my days and be free to work, of course, but to do what I wanted to when I wanted to.
I interpret it as also having, like, where even the time where you're working is not just time that's not useful for something else, but also enjoyed time. I mean, like,
exactly.
Time that's worth it.
Yeah, it's more about the quality. I mean, we're going to spend a great deal of time working in our lives, right? So
yeah,
it's not that I'm not the kind of person that thinks, okay, I just want to do my 8 hours per day job and then coming back home and close everything else out. I feel, and plus my family has always had quite a respect for working, for jobs. They always thought that working was a way to realize yourself as well as a person.
Okay.
And I totally agree on that. And so I wanted to, I mean, that my daily agenda may make sense somehow to myself, to feel that I was doing something right for me. And I wouldn't push it to meaningful, because, like, sometimes I feel like in our industry we tend to overload what we do in a way. So I wouldn't say, like, meaningful for mankind or those kind of stuff. But anyway, something that made sense with me,
but,
at least.
But I mean, I don't think it's wrong to say meaningful. First of all, it's meaningful to you, obviously, because you're so aware of how you're spending your time and that it's supposed to be, you know, not just putting in the hours or whatever. But, I mean, the work, the photos that you create are so meaningful for the people you create them for. I mean, and we know this because we know that, you know, I mean, obviously, kind of the worst case is that somebody does pass away. And, you know, you have those photos left, but also to just capture those moments that in a wedding sense, I can imagine you you know, when you're married for a long time, to see those photos can also be very meaningful.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Good and bad times. So there's a lot of meaning.
Yeah, I just wanted to add something about this thing because it's something that I'm thinking a lot these months. And I have the feeling that as an industry, we, in the last few years maybe, we have talked a lot about these, I don't want to, maybe these dying issues. Like we tend to connect the value of what we do with the fact that we are gonna die sooner or later, and so, or someone in the picture is gonna die sooner or later. Mm-hmm. Which is of course true. I mean, the value of a photography comes directly from the memory it keeps, so it's something that is actually connected. But I feel that sometimes concentrating on that issue specifically makes things a bit too simple, because there are so many things between and so many other meanings between the wedding pictures and the huge memory issue when someone passes away. I mean, it's a very easy way to understand why something is important, but sometimes I feel like we risk to make it a bit flat. I don't know how to express it.
I mean, tell me more. I'm super interested.
Well, I don't. I mean, it's a kind of a complicated issue, probably, because of course, reminding ourselves that our life is kind of going to end sooner or later is a super easy and clear way to understand why our job is so important. But I also feel that sometimes keep on talking about that is leaving any other maybe more dedicated shadows outside the discussion, because everything of course tend to lose value or to get another overwhelming value connected to the fact that we all are going to die. And I feel this, and again I'm telling this considering that I've been through something like that, so and I decided to change my job and my whole life based on that. So I feel why it's important to talk about that. But I also feel like in the last few years, we have talked a lot about that. It's not that, I mean, I get the point, but I think we should also start to give value to all the other things that are in between without constantly reminding us that they are important because we are all gonna die or someone is going to die in a way. I mean, I know it's kind of simplistic to talk like that. And again, I'm sorry because, of course, I'm not English mother tongue, and in Italian I will be probably way more precise, but really, there's nothing wrong in the desire of our grandmas to have a proper family picture or to have like the normal pictures just because they want to have it, just because it's nice to have the feeling that our family is taking some step ahead, that there are probably children going to be born in the next years, or just because, I don't know, they put a great deal of effort in choosing the location or the settings and they just want to celebrate it. I mean, there are a lot of things in life that are not directly connected to the fact that we are going to die. And I feel like wedding photographer, we also need to remember about that, because we are doing something important, but we are not saving lives on the other hand. So,
right, we're not saving. And you mean, like, don't you think that it's something that we say to give our work meaning, though. I mean, that it's like, I wonder, I just speaking from my own experience, if I think about the fact that I'm not saving lives in, you know, I'm not volunteering in Africa or whatever, things that I probably should be doing. No, but at least it gives some meaning to think that I'm bringing some sort of heirloom, or, you know, those words that are used, but like something that, you know, that people are cherishing and loving.
Without
making it seem like, you know, I'm not saying that it's like I'm a lifesaver, but just that it's something that maybe we tell ourselves to make it feel more important.
No, I totally agree. And I feel it's important to keep like this feeling with us, because it also, it's what allow us to be respectful towards our clients, because we do a very repetitive job, so it's easy for us to kind of forget the single importance of the single event for our clients. Or I mean, it can be easy to just think, oh God, another wedding, but it's not another wedding for our clients. It's always once in a lifetime experience. So this is absolutely important. What I'm saying is just, I feel that we, as just talking as an industry, we have researched a lot about this specific aspect of our jobs lately. Mm-hmm. And or at least I would love to see more research on other aspects as well, because it's not that if you dedicate your professional experience to some other aspects of wedding photography, you are not giving meaning to your job. It's just you are exploring another meaning. Like, for example, I really loved The Last Way Up North. Kirsten Marie Parker, she did that. To me, it was really outstanding speech, because she was very deep into something that to me was incredibly meaningful and incredibly respectful toward the clients. And it was like a true deep work of research towards them. And
what about it did you... Can you talk specifically about what she said that you...
Yeah, she was talking about the way she tries to connect with her clients, trying to give them what they naturally need based on their behavior or their attitude, basically. And she, I mean, the impression I got is that she really studies on...
Yeah.
On them, and she researches actively in order to give them a better service in this this way. And I think it was a very, very deep discussion into the way we can improve ourselves in order to give our clients a meaningful job, to deliver them something that's really professional and important and meaningful. And she did all of this without necessarily stressing the fact that sometimes in some situation you face big life issues, like people dying again or this kind of stuff. I really appreciated that kind of
angle that she had there. Yeah, that was, I agree, that was very interesting. And she was talking about being able to also make it that day easier for the couple.
Exactly.
By knowing them, like pulling them away from situations to have some time to just kind of land and breathe.
to the ones that they need that, or like she was... I mean, it was very inspiring to me, actually. And I think it gave me to think a lot after the speech and the way I connect to my clients. And I think that these kind of speeches, these kind of research is really what we could be doing in the next few years, because I kind of feel like we do an important job.
We got that. So it's like an industry trend to say, like, what we're doing is creating heirlooms. Okay, now we've done that. So,
and I mean, really, it's
like
not
basta.
it's not against anyone, really, because I'm the first one. Like, my whole branding, and I really, really into this heirloom and heritage things. So I'm totally on the same page with that. But that's probably why I'm kind of starting to look for something else, because I want to go further in a way.
Yeah. But speaking of heirloom and heritage, it has come to my attention that you are in the works of creating another generation.
Yeah. Yes, I am.
Tell me about your life situation. You're just showing me your face right now. Let's see.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you want to see the bump?
Yes. Well, wow, big bump.
Seven months pregnant, yeah, and something. Yeah, I kind of lost the count. I realized for 2 months, I said to everyone, yeah, I'm five months pregnant. And then I suddenly realized, oh gosh, I'm seven. So I've missed the whole 6 months.
Congratulations.
Thank you. There's been... Well, I travel quite a lot for work. Like, I will say 98% of my weddings are abroad.
Oh, wow.
So this season, I travel really a lot with my tiny one.
Wow. So he or she has been...
He has been. His boy, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Italian son to an Italian mother.
Yeah.
Oh, what's this?
Yeah, I'll tell you more. He's going to be with us in Rome next April, because he's going to be like 1 month old or something. So
can I hold him then?
Of course. Everyone can. I mean, seriously, if there's any babysitter.
Right here.
Just please, don't worry. Come squeeze him, do whatever you need to.
Okay, I'll just book him for those 2 days of the conference. That's so the rest of you, hands off.
Okay, perfect.
Oh, that's so exciting. So you know it's a boy and it's your first child.
Yeah.
So, okay. So what kind of parent are you going to be? Because we're all experts before we actually have the kids.
Who knows? No, actually, I know that anything I'm thinking now is not gonna be what is going to happen, probably. I guess more or less the only thing that I got talking with other people that had children. I'm a bit scared, to be completely honest, because I really like the life my husband and I have built for us. We love the way we live, we love where we live, and we are totally aware that welcoming another one with us is gonna alter some things.
Yeah.
Of course. So we really don't know how it's going to be. But what we hope is that since we love the life we have, he's gonna love it as well. So, for example, next year, we are lucky enough to have Ricardo having a 3 months parental leave. Okay. So he's going to travel with me and the baby, so I can actually work from June to August without being too stressed out, especially because, as I said, I'm always abroad for all the works, basically. So it wouldn't be that easy for me leaving on the Fridays and coming back on the Sundays when it's a short one.
Yeah.
With a baby that small. So he is gonna just give up on his job for 3 months and come with me.
Oh, that sounds so nice.
Yeah, it's gonna be a bit of an adventure, because some people, when we talk about that, they kind of freaked freak out and say, oh, now you're totally crazy. Like, how are you going to travel all that time with the tiny baby and everything? But I don't know, like, well, first,
make it work.
First of all, you need to work to pay bills, right? So there's not much of a choice. And secondly, I feel like babies that small probably just want to have their parents happy and close to them. So if we are both close to him and happy to travel, he's going to be fine as well. I don't know.
Yeah, just it's a great time for Ricardo to connect with the baby too, because otherwise sometimes it takes a while, I think, for them to have that kind of connection where you're just like the one to go to when they're really, if they're sad or tired or hungry.
Yeah, so I don't know, let's hope it will work out. We'll see in Rome, so bear with me.
Well, that it's, I mean, obviously nobody knows what it's going to be like, but it's kind of fun to imagine, I mean, the life. And I'm pretty sure if you love your life now, yeah, of course it's going to change, I mean, drastically. But I think you probably haven't met anyone who says, they may say, okay, I miss these things about my old life, the freedom, but they probably wouldn't take it back. I mean, like, not have the baby. Most people are pretty
well, it's I think it's a priority thing in the end. Like, if you know it's an experience you want to have in your life, you just, I don't know, if you can, you make it happen, and then you solve all the issues day by day or whatever comes first, because there's never going to be like the perfect time or the perfect situation. Or even when you get that, the life changes everything because, I don't know, some huge surprise, good or bad, just comes in. So I don't know. I don't feel like we should wait for the right situation or the right everything to happen in order to make this, I mean, life choices this big, because eventually it's not really up to us what is going to happen. So yeah,
that's true. No, it's very true. And I think, like you said, it's one of those things where if you wait too long, then you're so set in your ways too. I mean, which is fine. You can be that and it can change your world upside down. So there's no right or wrong. But yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. If we have the same conversation in 1 year, maybe I can tell you more about that and say, oh gosh, no. But
you're like, oh, it's going to be fine. No, but I know people who have made it work.
Okay, also, yeah, that's good. That's good.
And I know that the thing that they have said is that it works and it was good. I maybe wish I would have been nicer to myself also, to just let myself relax more kind of in between. So it is intense, and you know, your body will probably do crazy things when you hear your baby cry, or you have a feeling that your baby is not well, you know, whatever. So that's exhausting, but you can't really measure it. Yeah. So maybe plan for more downtime in between.
Yeah, he makes himself quite clear already. So I basically ignored him until the last wedding of the season. Like, I was going everywhere and doing everything. And now is kind of sending some messages like, Mom, just slow down.
Chill out.
Yeah. So, and I'm taking the suggestion this time because, besides, I'm really big and everything. So, okay.
It's easier to take it.
I'm taking it easier now.
So are you like done with weddings for this year, or do you have lots of work to do still?
I'm still delivering a few stuff, but I'm not shooting until May or June, I will say.
Okay.
Next year. So yeah, I'm taking some time off. I have some speaking appointments in the next few months, maybe, but I will be stuck in UK anyway from January to the due date. So yeah, I won't be able to move anyway. And we are on an island, so
so there's no choice.
It's over for a while.
There's always the Eurostar. What's the due date?
Second of March, but everyone says it's going to be late because it's the first one and this thing. So
don't listen to that. It could be, it could very well be 2 weeks before. You just got to be ready. Yeah.
Yeah, we will find out in Rome, right?
I can't wait. Do you have names picked out? You don't have to say what they are.
Yeah, yeah. No, we picked the name, which is Teodoro.
Teodoro.
Yeah, it's an Italian name. Not everyone is super enthusiastic about that, but my husband and I are really, I don't know, we like it. It makes us laugh a bit, and so we got attached to it.
It makes you laugh?
Yeah. Yeah. So every time we call you, we laugh. It's good.
Teodoro, it's so cute. So I, when I actually lived in Italy for about a year, and I had an Italian boyfriend, and I remember his Italian mother was kind of the epitome, I think, of Italian mothers, like really what you would, what people hear. Now, my question is, living in kind of UK and being there for 3 years or whatever, what kinds of things do you realize about yourself that are super Italian, and what things do you think are not?
Oh, this is a good one. So, well, I'm very Italian in the way we cherish our family traditions, which is very different from the English way of doing the same. Like, I feel like English people have a lot of heritage in terms of their country, and they really care about their traditions in that field. But they are much more flexible on family tradition and ways to get together, while Italian families, especially my one, they are very traditional. So, I mean, the Christmas menu has been the same since ever. And you can't just change one of the dishes because someone is going to be mad. Like, seriously.
Like crazy. About that.
Yeah, no, there's no way. Like, seriously, my husband and I turned kind of vegetarian 1 year and something ago, but the Christmas lunch is something we just can't deal with. Like, we know that day we are not gonna have a vegetarian dish because they're, I don't know, my grandma is gonna die probably or something. Like, I mean, something terrible is gonna happen. So this way, I would say I'm still quite Italian because I really cherish family traditions. I miss when I don't get to be back home for some kind of yearly celebrations. Sometimes happen. On the other hand, I really get along with English people for other things. Like, they are very discreet in how can I say, in dealing with relationship, mm-hmm. especially on the workspace and so, which is something that in Italy doesn't happen. So
you mean discreet, like
they are more detached in a way, and I always felt like having a certain amount of detachment on the workspace is something very healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of appreciate that in the English people, and Italian really don't have this thing, like absolutely not. And I'm probably more English on that point of view.
So, like, what's an example of an Italian person not being detached?
Well, they get mad quite a lot. involved in the workspace, and they there's kind of energy that takes over in the Italian offices that usually here in UK is more calm and managed.
Okay.
And that this is something, or like in Italy, you really get to be friends with your colleagues most of the time in the office, because I don't know, the first thing they invite you over for dinner, and then you get to know their families and everything. And in like 1 month, they are, I wouldn't say best friends, but almost like, you know, everything about them. And here just doesn't happen. It doesn't exist. So unless it's like really special connection, but it doesn't really happen. And on one hand, it's bad because, of course, it's harder to create meaningful connection to people, with people. But on the other hand, it's also healthy when you need to switch off.
Yeah. For some reason. You don't become as like kind of intertwined with every aspect of work. Yeah, I can imagine.
Okay, that also allows you to be more chilled with clients and everything. So, yeah, that's something that I'm probably more English about.
That's nice. Do you think you'll move back to Italy at some point?
Who knows? I don't know. No promises. I'd like to stay here for a while, or at least, I mean, if this baby gets to be English mother tongue, I think it's a very precious gift for him in this world. So I'd love for him to stay at least as long as necessary to be fluent in English. So maybe meanwhile we'll get better as well.
English is very good, though. I was thinking, I mean, compared to what I was faced with when I was living, I mean, that was a while back, but I mean, your English is very good.
I'm doing my best, but I'm very, very picky with languages. So I don't feel like I get to express myself the way I'd love to still. So I'm still trying to improve. And I love my child to be Italian and English mother tongue. So I guess a few years still,
yeah,
at least. I'm not sure I will be moving back to Italy straight after this. Maybe we'll move somewhere else again. It depends more on my husband's job, to be honest, because he's a mechanical engineer, and here is perfect for him. Okay. And I can do my job more or less wherever. So,
but he's Italian.
Yeah,
Riccardo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's Italian as well.
And how did you meet?
This is a shameful story.
Perfect material.
We met on a disco night.
Okay.
And we have a misunderstanding, basically, because I was a bit drunk. So I told you, this is really shameful. I was really drunk and I needed to go to the loo. And so I asked him if he could please have my wallet while I was going to the toilet. And he thought, oh God, this is a girl for sure. She's so into me. And I really didn't mean that at the time.
You were just like, I didn't even goggles on.
So when I came back, he just kissed me, and I thought,
you're like, who is this guy?
But eventually I thought, well, yeah, I like this no romantic approach at all. Like, yeah, let's go straight to the point. And yeah, somehow 3 years later, we were engaged. So it's a kind of a misunderstanding that worked out eventually.
Did you even recognize him as the guy who was holding your wallet? Just how you're... Okay.
So he was a friend of a friend, so left my wallet with the first guy. But
okay, I thought it was...
Trust me, I wasn't, like, planning on the development. I didn't thought that would have been taken as a signal to go.
Typical guy to just be like, oh, she's so into me.
I mean,
like, what?
For sure, of course. Like, she asked me to hold something. Her message to me, like, still, we talk about that. He says, well, you know, we got married, so eventually I was right, right? And I was like, yes, but...
Pero...
Yeah, we could discuss about intention at the very beginning, but yeah.
So typical. Girls are like, oh, I don't know if he's into me. Da-da-da. Guys are like, she wants me. She wants me bad.
Clearly.
That's confidence for you.
Yeah.
But it worked out. So thanks to that moment. And that
I love confidence in people. That I find it really sexy. So
yeah. That's good. I like that too. And that's kind of, for me, it's kind of an Italian quality, actually. Speaking of that stuff, I'm pretty good.
I think so. And plus, I mean, if you want something, you really have to put yourself out there and get it right. Like, I mean, not too much, because there are things that you shouldn't do, of course.
Yeah.
But in a general point of view, if you don't have the courage to expose yourself for something you care about, maybe you don't care about it strong enough. So,
yeah.
I mean, on my point of view, so I kind of appreciate when people take courage into their hands and just go with it.
Yeah. No, I do too. I love that. I think that's kind of, Swedes are not great at that, actually. Getting better, but that's a big cultural difference, I think.
Well, we can manage to have a Swedish Italian kind of side class in Rome for this. I'm sure there are plenty of Italian that will love to evangelize.
Evangelize. It's so, I have a funny story about that. We had some friends of my best friend were here in Stockholm. A group of Italian women that were here for a few days. And so she had asked me, this is right when I had gotten back from living in Italy, so my Italian was pretty fresh. But we had spent like a day together, and basically they didn't speak very much English. So I had been speaking Italian, and I was kind of helping them guide around Stockholm and stuff. And in the evening, they were asking me like, so have you ever been to Italy? And my friend was like, aren't you thinking about the fact that she's speaking Italian to you? Like,
yeah.
And they were like, it was like they just kind of assumed that everyone speaks Italian. Or, I mean, like they didn't even, they were kind of like, oh, yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
And we've been laughing about that because it's kind of like this, and I don't mean to offend anyone now at all, but like kind of this idea that like, yeah, well, no, certo. Like, why? Of course, doesn't everyone kind of, you know?
Well, I don't think it's like they expect you to speak Italian. It's more that we are always trying to express ourselves with foreign people with this kind of Esperanto made by gestures and Italian and some words in English and some words in God knows which other languages, and we make ourselves kind of understandable in all the ways we have, but we don't really label what we do as, I'm speaking in English or I'm speaking in Italian. We just go with it.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah,
we just try to deliver the message. We don't really care about,
you're not thinking like, oh, that person is speaking, I mean, like analyzing the situation. You're just the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
as long as it works, it's fine.
Yeah, and then you're just, that totally explains it, because it was just like such a weird thing to us that like, why would you ask that if someone's speaking to you in that language? I mean, like, just such a weird,
we are not really a kind of a, I mean, if there's something we really lack, is probably self-esteem as a country most of the times. So we are not the kind of country that goes out and says, oh, I expect you to speak Italian at all.
I didn't mean it like that.
We really don't expect people to speak our language. And plus, we speak the same language since, I think, 1950s, something like that, when the television came into the houses before. And still, like, my grandmother can't speak with my husband's grandmother. They can't understand each other. There's no, because they come from two different regions and they speak dialects, and there's no way they can communicate. we don't really expect people to understand us or to speak Italian. We just don't really, how can I say, we just really don't care, probably. We just go and try to make ourselves understandable in some ways.
Yeah. Do you think you're going to be like a typical Italian mother, like I was kind of touching on earlier? Do you think you're going to be?
Gosh, I hope not. At least in the way people usually think about Italian mothers. But I know there's a risk, like a genetic risk about that. So I hope I will have the strength to be faithful to what I think now and leave him as free as possible. And so it is more a challenge with myself than with him at the moment, I think. So because at the moment I'm fine. I feel like I'm still kind of... I get my act together more or less. But I don't know, because everyone says when you actually have the baby, there's something in your body, in your chemical situation that kind of makes you feel different, and you get crazy about this baby and everything, and you just want to hold him for like the rest of his life. And so I don't know, I will just myself together, and around a reasonable age he'll be free to go and do whatever. I was really independent since very young age, and I remember I was so keen to travel and do things myself, and I desired that so much that probably this memory is gonna help me through that. I asked my friends to be very honest with me and slap me in my face if I get to be like too.
Because in your opinion, the Italian mother, the bad part is that they don't let their children be free or like move away or kind of do those things, or what?
Yeah, well, we tend to be very, as Italian, very, very conservative in some ways, like of this the family situation. Mm-hmm. And yeah, usually parents they are very supportive for their children, and please note the air quotes here, to stay home.
Yes.
Yeah,
you mean they can be adult and still be living at home? Yeah, I mean, that's quite normal. Yeah,
children still be home, and sometimes they are not like concretely pushing them away, which I on some sides I understand, because situation in Italy is not always as easy as foreign people picture. So it's not easy to find jobs, and I get it started. It's more convenient to stay together under the same roof most of the time. But on the other hand, I really think that sometimes some sacrifices are worthy, and in order to grow up. And money is not what's most important here, and you can waste some money if you gain some independence and
definitely you mean to like have your own place and do your own adventures, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, maybe you can share a room with other two people. It doesn't have to be perfect, it doesn't have to be comfortable most of the time. I think it's useful for you to get a more fulfilled as well, or complete person. So probably this is what left me.
I remember my Italian boyfriend, I hope he doesn't listen to this. He was living at home and I moved to Italy. So we were both adults, but he was like still kind of living at home. And he had this thing where, this is funny to me, but maybe completely normal. And I hope I'm not making like fun of, but his mother would put out, like obviously make his bed and put out his pajamas folded kind of nicely on the bed. But it was like ironed every day and folded nicely. And then when it was summer, she put out the summer pajamas. And when it turned cold, then it was time for the like winter pajamas. And then that like whole, you know, ironing the underwear. And I mean, like there were so many things that I remember. I was just like, oh my God, if we stay together, is this something that he expects? I mean, he was very modern actually. So he just kind of like, she enjoys it, let her do it.
Think it's something they expect, not all of them at least, but I don't know. I think it really depends from person to person actually on this point of view. And plus, you know, here in UK we don't have seasons really, so we won't change pajamas from one season to another, so I don't have this problem.
You're not gonna iron the little baby pajamas every day. No
just which seasons, I mean, like it's always more or less the same, so it's easier.
That's so funny. Oh well, I love the name Teodoro too actually, and now it also makes me laugh.
Good. That's very good.
It's actually a common name here too in Sweden. Not Teodoro, but Teodor.
Yeah,
it's the similar one. So I know it well. I wanted to ask you, since I mean, you're the only Italian actually presenting at the Rome way up north, right?
Yeah.
What kinds of things? I mean, if we're gonna, for all those people listening that are gonna come to Rome, what kinds of things would you say, like tips for just being in Italy? Is there something like, I mean, most tourists will like order cappuccino after they eat lunch, for example. That's a big no-no.
No, yeah, no, you don't do that.
That's like a rookie mistake.
No, yeah.
For the digestion.
Well, talking about food, first of all, you have to accept to eat a lot, because as Italians, we kind of tend to express our love through food. So if someone appreciates you, he's going to feed you, or she's going to feed you until you die, basically. So just accept it and go with it.
Accept it and diet later.
Yeah. And plus, we have very, very different uses about timing and food. Like in Italy, we eat everything very late and we take our time to eat. So like the lunch break is not something that can be 30 minutes.
like in Sweden, it's kind of like, okay, hurry back here. That won't happen there?
No.
Okay.
Just no. And so take your time. And food-wise, well, there's not much I can say. I mean, it's really easy to eat very well in Italy. So just it is just easy one.
It's gonna be
on other point of views, I would say, yeah, probably try to speak with some local people or even to me, actually, if someone wants to email me or there are a lot of things to see and visit in Italy, especially in Rome, that are not so mainstream as like the Fontana di Trevi, for example, which is awesome. You have to see it. But if you really want to have an Italian experience, and you need to find the way to chill out in Italian cities, and sometimes not having a huge amount of tourists around you. So if you get to discover some less known spots that are equally beautiful, just go there instead of just going to mainstream, because there Absolutely. You get take your time for a coffee wherever, and invest something more for the coffee, but be sure you get the right spot to sit down and see people passing by and
just enjoy la dolce vita.
Exactly, just chill.
So why, speaking of coffee there, I mentioned the cappuccino thing. I know that the non-Italians will come to Rome and they'll order lunch, and then they will order a cappuccino afterwards. No. But
afterwards, still.
Yeah, I know. Tell me, why don't you do that? And what's the coffee rules? Because, I mean, I worked as a barista when I was in Italy, so I know them, but I'm curious to hear from you why don't you take a cappuccino after lunch?
Well, cappuccino is something you take as a breakfast or maybe in the afternoon, but there's milk in it, so you don't really drink milk with anything else you eat. So it doesn't make sense. Like, maybe somewhere else you drink milk while you eat pasta, for example, but in our mind you drink wine or water, right? And that's it. And plus, when you take your coffee, sometimes you want it corretto, which means there's some alcohol inside, typically, I don't know, grappa or sambuca or whatever else. So you can't really put sambuca or grappa into the milk, because so you put it into the coffee. Or even better, when you had your coffee, after there's this tiny little bit of coffee that remains into the oh God, what's the name? the tiny thing you used to drink the cup. Yeah,
the cup.
The cup, and then you put a tiny bit of grappa or whatever. And in my region, that's called resentin, for example, but it's not what it's called in Rome. So
that's actually using the little, like, kind of coffee grains that are left over to mix with the... that's new.
And that's what you do after lunch, for example, or after dinner. But yeah, you get, after your lunch, you get an espresso.
Definitely, yeah.
Not a cappuccino.
And if you stop at the bar, coffee bar, in the afternoon for we have also a coffee culture here that you probably noticed in Sweden, but then you would not get a cappuccino, you would get like also an espresso. Okay.
You can have more or less whatever you want in the afternoon. It's fine. I mean, as long as you don't mix milk with seafoods, for example, it's fine for us. Well, they do that, like, because typically, especially I have to say, German people do that. They come to Italy and they order, like, I don't know, spaghetti allo scoglio, which is pasta with seafoods, and then a cappuccino as a side, which makes us like crazy, because there's no how, like, even if you think about that, like, I mean, seafoods comes from sea and milk comes from cows. They don't match. Like, they're different words. So
I love this about the Italian culture. I absolutely love these rules that are so, I mean, that it's just that for you is like, how could one even, I mean, where do you even come up with the idea to do this? Exactly. And just that feeling like, what the, you know?
Like, you don't mix cows with shells. It's as simple as that.
Oh my God, that's hilarious to me. And also, don't make the mistake of just ordering a latte, because my mother did that when she came to visit and she received...
latte, yeah, and
just milk.
Yeah, no, we don't really have latte in Italy. It's something someone invented abroad, I think, and they put an Italian name on it, but we don't have it.
Don't have latte. Well, it's going to be great, and I think I would love some tips if you have some Rome tips. So I'll be in touch very soon to see,
of course,
ideas. But you might be male bombed now by email.
That's fine. I'm going to have a lot of free times in the next couple of months.
Yeah.
There may be 1 week or so in which I won't be able to reply. But
well, understandably so.
Yes.
I think it's great that you're, great, courageous, whatever, to come with a little baby and very just cool of you.
Yeah, he's gonna be fine. He's gonna be with his dad and
me.
Yeah, and you.
So you already promised. So wait.
Yeah, and plus, if everything gets really bad on the scene and everything, I can just take the baby and say, "Oh, look, guys! By the way, I have a cute tiny baby that can cover for whatever I said so far."
Just use him for your own benefit.
Exactly. I mean, babies are cute, right? So I could even bring my cat, so I have double cuteness and make them play together.
Travel. That's a great idea, Anna.
It's a backup anyway.
It's a backup. So the next few months for you are winding down, spending Christmas in Italy then, eating lots of meat.
there's going to be no tomorrow. Yeah.
Oh, that's another thing I remember. I was actually vegetarian when I lived in Italy, and I would go to a restaurant and that was so weird of me to be then, or there, because they would be like, okay, they like didn't even know what that meant. So you'd go to a restaurant or a small village or whatever, and you're like, okay, she doesn't eat meat. Okay, so you want chicken? No meat, whatever. Exactly. And then they'd come out with something that it had meat in it, and they were like, yeah, but it's like almost no meat. I mean, like it's very
it's
much
like ham.
It's half meat. It's ham.
So you're they just look at you like, what's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you? And also, but if it's like mostly vegetables, what's the problem?
they just don't get it.
I love it. Oh, I miss Italian so much. So I'm looking forward to.
You're going to be back in Italy very soon. So
back in the thick of it. Awesome. Well, I wish you the best of luck. I mean, in every way, this next, just to wind down, to relax, prepare for the baby, for the delivery. Big stuff ahead for you.
I'll try to keep my shopping, nesting issue managed.
What's most fun in online shopping right now? What do you look at when you're
I'm trying to be completely honest, I'm really trying to keep everything zen and clean at home. So even though I'm definitely not minimalistic, I have no minimalistic approach to the house. So I think I'm mostly shopping and looking for baby clothes or... I think it's pretty it's not really groundbreaking considering, but
so fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is. Oh, we have an exciting time ahead. I can't wait to see this little Teodoro.
Yeah.
Teodoro.
I'm sure he's really keen to see everyone as well. Hopefully not too keen, just the right amount of
right here. Oh, great. Seriously, good luck with everything. I'm so happy to have talked with you. This was fun. I already liked you actually before we even started talking, which I didn't want to say to jinx it, but I was like too relaxed almost, because I was I was having some technical difficulty before us coming on here, but I was like, we're already kind of friends on my ass.
It's really nice to hear. Thank you very much.
So anyways, hopefully I'll get to see you in person then in April.
Of course, can't wait.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, have a lovely day.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Okay, bye.